Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. How to Build a Tent is a show under CrossPolitik Studio. If you want to go over to crosspolitik.com, you can become a member and help support us, help us to put out great content and proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ in all areas of life. If you want to reach out to me, if you have any comments or questions or feedback, reach out to me on Twitter, Instagram, at How to Build a Tent. If you want to give me an email, you can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. Would really love to get your feedback and to hear from you guys and to start conversations. That's part of this show, is the getting to know you guys as well as you guys getting to know me and my thoughts on different topics. So today, we're going to be talking about a controversial subject, brainstorming. Brainstorming sessions, to be specific. And how effective are they? What should they be used for? What they shouldn't be used for? And if you look online, you could see heated debate from one article saying that they're the best thing ever to the next, it's the complete waste of time. And I'm of the opinion that brainstorming sessions are good for some things and not good for other things. Some of the things that I think brainstorming sessions are great for is getting to know your team by coming up with ideas how to incentivize them. What ways would they like to see themselves rewarded for the work that they put into things? What kind of team building exercises would they think is fun to kind of build the team together? Creating buy-in by getting their opinions on different topics. Just wanting to learn more about your group, I find that when you get their ideas and get them thinking about things, that is a great opportunity just to get in their minds to see how they think, what they think, and to see how engaged they are. A lot of times employees will not come up with ideas. They won't be enthusiastic about something like brainstorming ideas if they're not engaged, and you have a bigger problem on your hands. And that's something we get into later in episodes to come about what to do when you don't have engaged employees. Some things that I don't think brainstorming is good for: strategy, kind of figuring out where the company should go. Oftentimes your employees, it might sound good to get people's feedback on everything, but a lot of times they don't have the perspective that higher level people have in an organization, and they just won't come up with good solutions because they don't have all the facts. So strategy, high level decisions, product development, that takes a lot of higher level of understanding about how things are, not necessarily that they're dumb or anything like that, but just it takes a full picture and of that what the high level people do, not so much the operations has. Those are the chief executive officers, the VPs and things like that. Those are the people that should be making those decisions. You shouldn't be brainstorming with your operations people about that kind of stuff. Now, there may be a time where you brainstorm those kinds of things with VPs if you have enough of them, if it's a larger company. But usually VPs are over a specific area even, and they're responsible for those things, and they're not looking for help from other people. If they're having issues, then that's more of an employee HR kind of situation, not a lack of ideas situation. So a few guidelines around brainstorming. I personally like to have no fewer than 4 and no greater than 8, at the max 10. And that's not including a moderator. You should always have a moderator who's guiding the decisions, that kind of has the authoritative say on where things are going to move forward if there's a standstill, that keeps the discussion going along. Also, try to have people sitting in a circle, not having a head at the table. Don't have anyone who's a boss over any other employees. You know, if you have a boss, that whenever they say something, you are almost obligated to kind of go along with it. I don't care how great the boss is and how open to criticism a boss is. There's just a certain power that a boss has that crushes the creative spirit. So when you start selecting those people, try to have people that are all in the same level, that doesn't look at someone as an authoritative figure in the company. And then have the moderator, who also is not a boss of any sort, but who's leading the discussion, who's responsible for the results of the brainstorming session. That's the part I love to have. It's really fun to work these groups. Another thing to do is set a topic beforehand. A lot of times people are more creative, and you'll see this in articles against brainstorming, but people are more creative by themselves. They have time to think things through. So set the topic beforehand, really define what the problem is, and then also, along with defining the problem, define the solution criteria. So maybe the solution has to take place in a matter of months. Maybe there's a certain budget. Maybe there's a scope. Anything like that. Make sure that you set those things beforehand. Give people time to start thinking about things and to come up with solutions on their own that they can bring to the table in the meeting. It'll make the meeting go a lot faster. It will make more use of the time. So it's not just this long, dragged out process that doesn't get results. Also, I just personally like to have them before lunch, where people are awake. They're not dead from the end of the day. They're not full from lunch. Then their juices are flowing still, hopefully. So I like to have those meetings before lunch. And this is a crucial part, is to divide it up into phases. And this is something you can do beforehand as well, is you can say, look, we're gonna have these three phases. They're gonna last, if you're having an hour meeting, they're gonna last for 20 minutes each, and we're gonna be strict on the time. So in the first 20 minutes, we're going to do this, and then the next this, and it's gonna be cut off, and just be strict about it, just upfront, that whatever's happening, it's gonna cut off, and we're gonna move on to the next thing. So what are those three things? The first is brainstorming. This is the part where people are just coming together with ideas, like the session implies, right? Brainstorm, or the name implies, brainstorming. So what are some things that you should watch out for in this part? It's really important to not allow negativity to come in. Every idea is a good idea in this phase. So no one should make a comment, a face, or anything like that, a whisper to the person next to them saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe they came up with that idea. Because nothing kills creativity like negativity. So as a moderator, as someone who's even participating in the groups, you should just have that mind about you that there's no idea that's a bad idea in this section. You should be writing down these ideas on a paper and marker. I like that. It can get colorful and stuff like that, except I don't write it because my writing is sloppy. Or maybe a whiteboard or something like that. I kind of don't like the idea of computer and projector. That's just not creative in my mind, and it just, I like technology for almost everything else, but just the creative, like flowing, writing down ideas, brainstorming, I like that on a whiteboard or those pieces of paper that flip up. And again, I said no critiquing. All right, so the next phase is the critiquing phase. And this is where we start talking about which ideas we like. And as a moderator, you can start with crossing off ideas, or you can just go down the list and find the ideas that people like. And this is where we start having a little bit of a debate of why you like this, why I don't like this, why this was said, why this wasn't said, and those kinds of things. And you get down to the idea. So this usually will happen for, 20 to 30 minutes. This could take a lot of the time, and you might have a few minutes, precious minutes left in the third phase, which is the next steps. And even though the next steps might be the smallest phase, having something come of the meeting is really important, because if you have a meeting where you're just having these ideas, people are excited, but then nothing comes of it, no one's gonna wanna participate in these meetings anymore. So the first phase, you have these ideas, they're flowing. The second phase, you critique the ideas, you get into debate, you have the moderator lead the discussion and come up with several ideas or one idea. And then the last section is the next steps, where maybe you guys haven't come to a final decision yet and you need to schedule a follow-up meeting, or maybe you need to assign action items, whatever it is, maybe the next steps, this is what's gonna come of it, this is where we're gonna find out, or this is when we're gonna implement the idea. The moderator should be responsible to make sure that there's no loose ends, that everyone understands that this was not a waste of time, and that something is gonna come of it. And either it's gonna be a follow-up meeting to continue discussion, or that there's action items that have been assigned to people that are responsible and to get this idea implemented. So that's how I like running a brainstorming session. If you have any other ideas, please reach out, let me know. And the last thing before we end, I just wanted to say that I was thinking about this and why I love it so much. And I think one of the reasons I really love brainstorming sessions is I'm really comfortable with leading groups. And I think this is an exciting or a advantageous thing that we can do as Christians, because I got my experience from leading groups back in the day because I was leading a Bible study. And I think that brings out a good point for us as Christians, where we should be looking in areas of ministry that God has used us already for the opportunities that we can apply in our business. Now, in the business world itself, I didn't really have any experience leading small groups when I started doing these, but I found I was doing a really good job because I was able to take the skills I learned from what God was using me for in ministry and leading a small group, where you have to deal with personal problems, that you have to deal with conflict, that you have to prepare a meeting beforehand, that you have to move a meeting along. Those are all skills that transfer over to business. And I don't know if this is true for everyone, but I know this is true for me, with either if it's leading a Bible study or preaching, where I have public speaking experience that comes from that, learning how to articulate and capture an audience's attention. Those are all things that I've been able to apply to business. And I'm sure if it's organizing a ministry or recruiting people for a food donation campaign or managing the finances for a business. Look at those ways that God is using you in the church, in ministry, in other areas, and then see what you enjoy and see where God wants to use you in business in those areas as well. That has been a big advantage to me, and I hope that's a big advantage for you. And I hope that's also a place where you can find joy in your work, where you can see your work not just as a job to get money, but that's important as well. But also you can see it as a ministry, because ministry doesn't stop when we leave the church and then enter the office. But ministry should encapsulate all the things that we do. God has called us to proclaim his lordship in every area of life. So with that, I hope you have a great day. If you have any questions, if you comments, please reach out to me at Twitter or Instagram at How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. Please subscribe, give us a good review. It really helps us get the word out, and we'll talk to you.